Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 15 Minutes of Fame podcast. I'm your host, Erica with Celeb Connect. And today's episode is another part of our speaker series where we talk to talent that we love to work with and find out more about them and what they have to teach their audiences. And I'm very excited today. We're here with Eddie Lemoine. Eddie is a professional speaker. He's a best-selling author. He talks about leadership and employee engagement and so many things. We could literally talk to him for hours, but we have 15 minutes. So today we're going to be talking about his book and topic, Bring About What You Think About. Hi, Eddie. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
The 15 Minutes of Fame podcast, your destination to learn from people that are passionate about their business and have amazing stories to tell. Are you ready to elevate your expectations of what you thought was possible? It's time to get inspired.
So we're going to talk about your book today, because as you know, we have 15 minutes, and your book, Bring About What You Think About, has been around for a while, and it's still such a requested topic for you. So tell us a little bit how the book started and what it's about.
Well, it's interesting how it started, because it actually started in the Old Triangle Pub. So I'm in the Old Triangle Pub, and I'm sitting with a client of mine. His name is Steven, and we're talking about all our goals for the next year. So at the time, I was a senior executive, and I was telling him all the lofty goals we're going to do in this company. And then my own personal goals, I was going to lose weight, I was going to take my family to Mexico. And partway through the conversation, he stops me and he goes, you know, if you just change the way you think, your whole life would change. And I said, what are you talking about, Steve? And he said, you have stinking thinking. I said, what? He said, you have stinking thinking. He said, in one sense, you're telling me your goals, but in the other sense, you're making up excuses why you're not going to achieve it. You're talking about your goals at work, but the economy's tough, or you're going to try and lose weight, but you've tried before and failed. You're going to take your family to Mexico, but you're not sure if you can get the time off. So I was actually a little offended, and I did tell him in the conversation, I said, Stephen, I've read all those books, Norman Vincent Peale, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Dale Carnegie. But he said to me, he said, Eddie, there's a big difference between reading a good book and actually applying it in your life.
So true.
So I go home and I Google what we had talked about, and I didn't know the second I pressed the enter button that my life would change forever. So it kind of sent me down a path of kind of looking myself. And what was interesting was personal development, people try and make it complicated. You know, you go buy yourself a personal development book and it's 400 or 500 pages, and they regurgitate the same stuff over and over and over again in the book. So I tried to come up with a process that I personally could use to help me lose weight, achieve a number at work, or whatever it is I was trying to do, be a better father, be a better husband. And what happened was I started to see radical changes in my own life. And then people would say to me, you know, how are you doing this? And I would give them a journal that I had developed with all of my glorious spelling mistakes and grammar, and it started to have impacts on other people's lives. So I decided that I would write a book, but in writing the book, what I wanted to do was write something that was really easy to read, really easy to follow, and you could read it in 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And my thought behind that, because I fly a lot as a speaker, I like to get a book, read it on the plane, and have it completed, not something I have to carry around with me for a couple of weeks. So it's basically 3 steps. And then some accelerators to bring success into your life a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. What I was surprised with was how incredibly popular the book got and how incredibly popular it still is. Like we would probably be up around 15,000 copies that we've sold, so that's well into the bestseller realm. Mm-hmm. But more than that, it's made unbelievable changes in people's lives. You know, we have people that reach back out to us and say, you know, Eddie, I've read the book 10 times, or everyone in my family has read the book, or we're using your book as a book club type of book. So it has legs. It's timeless. It's a topic that, you know, would have worked back in the 40s, and it'll work 40 years from now. It's one of those things that I never realized it would have such an impact on people.
Wow. That's why I love you so much, Eddie, because you have such a strong purpose to help people. And I was mentioning earlier before we started the podcast today that I was listening to another podcast you were on with an Australian guy who you spoke with at the same conference. And you said that before you go on stage each time that you say something to yourself like, okay, Eddie, we're going to change a life today, or life today. And when I heard that, like, that's why I do this podcast, and that's why you're one of my favorite speakers. And it's so awesome that the book has helped to change people's lives so much.
Yes.
But a lot of people, I think, when when you hear bring about what you think about, I think people, maybe they get confused and think all I have to do is just think about positive things and they're just gonna fall on me. Can you explain a bit more what you mean by bring about what you think about?
Yeah, well, it really comes down to focus. So any entrepreneur will tell you when they get in the business and they focus on something, they'll kind of move themselves in that direction. So for me, there's kind of two parts to it. One is focus and the other is emotion. So in fact, the book is based around, you know, one statement: wherever you focus your attention and you put energy behind it, you bring it into your life. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to being positive or just thinking positive, and it's kind of funny when you think about that concept, I'm probably one of the most positive people you'll ever meet. And the reason being is that I know from a pure science perspective, there's an upside to being positive. Your brain operates more efficiently, you digest your food better, your body secretes serotonin, you're more creative, you sell more products and services, you give better customer service. So even when things are not going well in my life, I often try and fake it, you know, bring myself into that positive realm. However, it's not just about being positive, because your negative thoughts actually serve you very well. So if you think about it, when you feel fear, anxiety, and stress in your life, it's actually telling you something. It's telling you an area of your life where you want to make a change. So if you walk up a flight of stairs and you're short of breath and you say to yourself, you know, I don't feel healthy, I don't feel good about myself, I'm stressed about my health. Well, that's actually a good thing, because it's telling you an area of your life you want to make changes. So for me, your negative thoughts are valuable. You just don't want to dwell in those thoughts. So right. So what I always say is take your thought patterns and align it with your emotions. But, you know, use your negative thoughts to identify the areas of your life that you want to make change. And if you think about it, and everyone does this, you think about your bills, you think about your relationships, you think about your job, whatever area creates stress in your life, it's sending you a signal. It's telling you this is an area of your life that you want to make a change. So then what you want to do is you want to set a goal that's opposite of what's stressing you out. And then you want to create positive emotion around that goal. And so it's a little bit of both. You have to be positive. There's no upside to being negative. You know, I've traveled around the world. I've met the best people in every industry you could possibly imagine. I have never in my career, and I've talked to thousands and thousands of people, I've never met anyone who's made it to the top by complaining. I've never seen it happen. Yeah. I've seen people get ahead, you know, and there's a term for that, you know, squeaky wheel gets grease. And so maybe you'll get a 25-cent raise or you get Thursdays off. But long-lasting happiness and success comes from focusing your attention on where you want to go and creating the right emotion around that thought pattern.
Yeah, I just find that topic so interesting, because I feel like I have stress, but I feel like I almost like it. Like, I like ever-changing jobs where things are never the same. And then there are people out there that need that routine and they want to avoid,
that's right,
you know, any of that stress. But I feel like it's a motivator for me.
But see, your stress is outside your comfort zone. And that's actually really good stress, because that moves you towards success. Mm-hmm. But some people are under stress for completely different reasons. And yours would be a very, you know, positive stress thing.
A positive stress. I like that there is such a thing. So Eddie, let's go through those three steps that you talk about in the book.
So this is really simple. And if you do the three steps, you'll actually get results, even if you don't believe it. So the first step is you got to figure out what area of your life you want to make changes. And there's two ways you're going to do that. One is you're going to look at the areas that you feel anxiety and stress, and that'll help create kind of a checklist of things that you want to change. So if you feel stressed about your health, then you want to become more healthy. If you feel stressed about your finance, you want to become more financial abundant. So we kind of look at you know, looking at your thought patterns and then creating a goal. The other is some things you intuitively know. You know, lots of people on after New Year's Eve, they sit down, they write their New Year's resolution. You know, I want to buy a new house. I'd like to go to university. I have to pay off my student loan. I want to get married. So we have all these other goals. So once we've identified the goals, I like to write them down. So I write them on what's called a dream sheet. Now, everyone has their own method of doing it. And the reason why I write them on a dream sheet and don't use things like vision boards is that I always think the more time you spend happy, passionate, excited, the more effective your brain is, the more likely you are to move toward your goals. The less time you spend around fear, anxiety, and stress, the more, because that's resistance of your goals. So what happens is, for me, if you share your goals with people and they disagree with you, or they don't think it's going to happen, or they tell you, look, you've tried to lose weight 10 times before, it's never worked, now you have to overcome their obstacle. Mm-hmm. So you write it down, because the brain has a function called RAS, which is the ability to look for clues even when you're not paying attention. So, and you've had this happen where you decide you're going to buy a new car and it's going to be a Honda Civic, and you look on the road and every Honda Civic that you
definitely
notice every son, they were all there yesterday, but you're noticing them now.
Right.
So that was step one. Identify your goals. Okay. Write them down. Step two is you got to believe you can do it. So if you look at any area of your life where you're knocking it out of the park right now, it's because you believe you can do it. So if you're hitting a number at work, it's because you believe you can do it. If you weigh a certain amount of weight, it's you believe you can do it. If you can go on a golf course and break 100, it's because you believe you can do it. If you traditionally are hitting 140 and you walk on the golf course, you're never going to have that level of belief. So even if you look at like the Winter Olympics in Canada a few years ago, mm-hmm. and they had the Believe program own the podium, what they were trying to do was not just get the athletes to believe, but to get the Canadian population to believe. And it was so powerful, we won more gold medals than any country has ever won on home turf. So that's the power of belief. So there's a bit of tricking in your mind to get your mind to believe it, but it's a very powerful emotion. And then the third step, and it's the one I think most people fail at when it comes to goal setting, is you have to become the person you need to be as if you already had the goal. And if you think of the logic behind that, if you look at any area of your life where you're knocking it out of the park or you're doing really well, it's because you're exactly the kind of person you need to be. If you have an outstanding relationship with someone, you're probably loving and caring and giving in that relationship. But if you have an area of your life where you're not getting the results that you want, it's probably because you're not the person you need to be yet. So the one that I always think of was my health. So I'm always pretty good with numbers and work and those kind of things, but I struggled with health and weight. So what I did was I wrote a list. At the time, I was 235 pounds, and I said, what does Eddie need to be 135 or 235 pounds? What would I eat? What would I wear? What would my confidence level be? You know, all of those types of things. And then I wrote a list next to it. What would Eddie have to be 190 pounds? And I realized the lists were completely different. The food I would eat, the exercise, the clothes mm-hmm. I would wear, my confidence levels. And I said, well, what if I just did what the 190-pound version? What if I just became that person? What mm-hmm. if I ate that food, walked 10,000 steps a day, joined the gym? And then, you know, at one point, I actually went down to 170 pounds. So it's the area that most people struggle at, and it's almost they don't want to take an honest look at themselves and say, what do I need? Who do I need to be to have this? Who do I need to be to have the perfect relationship? Mm-hmm. And then there's two little accelerators that I use, and one is gratitude, which you know you'd be very familiar with.
I love that.
You know, gratitude moves you up the emotional scale. So if you look at happy, passionate, excited, the more grateful you are, the more likely you are to be on the top end of that scale. And the other one is giving. And it's giving in the area of your life that you lack the most. Mm-hmm. So if you think of the area of your life where you're really succeeding, it's because you're giving it 100% in that area of your life. Okay. If you're looking at the area of your life where you might be lacking the result, it might be because you're not giving as much in that area. You're not working as hard at it. Maybe you're not giving your body the food, the water, the exercise, the nourishment that it needs to be the version of yourself that you want to be. So you know, the three steps are identify your goals, believe you can do it, become the person that you would need to be, become more grateful so you're moving yourself up the emotion scale, and give in the areas of your life that you lack the most.
So Eddie, this has been so great, and I wish we could talk about this longer, but as you know, 15 minutes, but I'm wondering, you want to stick around and maybe talk about a few other things?
Absolutely.
Since we have you here?
Yes.
Yay, that's amazing. So thanks for being here for this podcast, and Eddie's going to stick around, and folks, you can hear him on the next podcast too.